Listen to the word of God as we find it in St. Paul's first letter to Timothy. And I'm reading from the Message from chapter 4, verse 11. Get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scripture, giving counsel, teaching, and that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. Cultivate these things, immerse yourself in them. The people will all see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear you will experience salvation. Don't be harsh or impatient with an older man. Talk to him as you would your own father, and to the younger men as your brothers. Reverently honour an older woman as you would your mother, and the younger woman as sisters. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for every time we can come to your word. May your Holy Spirit teach us from it, and may your great glory be our chief concern through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, it's a great joy to be here this evening, sharing in this service of co-missioning, recognising as we do the general call of God in Chrissy's life as a youth worker, and tonight the particular call to the CART project. We at St Leonard's in Dunfermline have been greatly blessed by Chrissy's ministry among us with our young people and in the local schools. But now Chris has moved on to new challenges and new opportunities of sharing the gospel, particularly with the young people in this wider area. It's never easy to move on to a new sphere of work, but sometimes it doesn't come at a time of your own choosing, but it comes. And whenever it comes, it's the right time because God is the one who leads us and God is the one we seek to follow. There is, of course, a lot of soul-searching when you're seeking God's leading for the place of his choosing, but that's a good thing to go through, because when we do, we sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. And in your case, as churches in this area who have called Chris, and part of Scripture Union, and in Chris's case, as one who has heard and responded to your invitation to minister to young people in this area. Now, these days, we recognise the importance of specialist ministries, particularly among young people. And while there are not too many passages, it has to be said, in Scripture about the specialist ministry of working with young people, we know from Scripture that God calls different people to different tasks. Famously, in Ephesians 4, we read, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, and so on. Now, of course, that list's not intended to be a limiting list, but rather an indication that we are called to different ministries within the body of Christ, that the church, the body of Christ, may be built up, and that we may reach out and bring others to saving faith in Christ Jesus. I guessed, before I even came here, from the name of the Kirkcaldy Area Reach Out Trust, that the task of reaching out is something that you want to do as churches and a Scripture Union alongside Chris in this exciting new ministry. Just a moment ago, I read from 1 Timothy 4:11 to 5:2, and Paul, in that letter, that pastoral letter, introduces himself as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and Jesus our hope. Paul was one of that small band, along with James and the 12 original apostles, who were given the words and the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's why we read their words as Holy Scripture today on a par with the Scriptures of the Old Testament. And when the apostles speak, it's as Christ speaking to his church. And Paul particularly epitomizes this dual role of ministering to the body of Christ and reaching out to others with the gospel. Now, of course, when we read our New Testament, we read that the apostles had different ways of doing things. And at times, we discover that they disagreed about how to go about that task. But the thing they held in common, their common purpose, was building up the church and reaching out with the gospel. I suppose that in CART, the different churches and Scripture Union will maintain their distinctive identities. But you've sensed, we hear over that long period of time, the Holy Spirit calling you to work together in common purpose for the gospel. Today, as never before, the people of Scotland, and particularly our young people, need to hear the simple and clear message of the gospel. These are days when there are so many different voices clamoring for our attention and so many different things demanding our time. And that prayer for Chris and Laura to balance their lives is so important. These are days when so many alternative lifestyles are promoted as equally valid. And these are days when, if we're honest, there's much confusion in the church. And no wonder people find it hard to hear the clarity of the gospel message. And no wonder so many young people never get the chance to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, the task of reaching out to these people, especially this younger generation, the next generation, is a task that should be at the forefront of our life as the body of Christ. Yes, times of worship, such as we're sharing in tonight, are important. But just as we're called together to worship, so too all of us are called to embrace our communities with prayer and witness as we reach out with the gospel. That's the Apostle Paul's charge to the church. But then he turns to his young lieutenant, Timothy, and he speaks of how he can avoid being sidelined because of his youth and how he can be effective in his ministry. Command and teach these things, Paul says. These things, a single word in the Greek text. And this word, referring to Paul's apostolic instructions, appears a dozen times or so in the pastoral letters to Timothy and to Titus. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, I'm writing these things so that if I'm delayed, you will know how to behave. 1 Timothy 4, 6, if you point out these things to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 5, 7, give the people these things, literally translated, these instructions. 1 Timothy 5, 21, I charge you to keep these instructions, these things. 1 Timothy 6, 2, these are the things you have to teach and urge upon them. Titus 2, 15, these things are what you should teach. Titus 3, 8, I want you to stress these things because these things are excellent and profitable to everybody. Back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, these things you've heard me say, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. 2 Timothy 2, verse 14, keep reminding them of these things. Now, when I read these letters, it struck me as remarkable that Paul keeps repeating these things. He does so as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And these things are instructions given to young Timothy and to Titus that they are to teach and pass on to others. There stands Paul, on the one hand, with all his apostolic authority to teach and instruct in the name of Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, there is the Christian church whose life and health depends on implementing the instructions of the apostle. And in between stand these young men, Timothy and Titus, who are charged with passing on the word of God. Now, of course, today we don't have apostles with us in the sense of the apostles that we read of in Scripture. Yes, there are some who have apostolic gifts, but we don't have anyone with the authority given to the 12 apostles and later to James and to Paul. So what do we have? Well, we have the New Testament, which is precisely the teaching of the apostles as it's come down to us in definitive form. And the role of every Christian leader, whether they're church ministers or youth workers, is to receive that apostolic teaching and faithfully pass it on, to teach it, to apply it for the benefit and health of the local church and for the salvation of those who are yet outside the family of faith. Now that's Paul's introduction, and it's important to get hold of it as we grapple with what seemed to be an apparent problem with Timothy's youth. Tonight we commission Chris to this new post, and he comes among you as a young man. And we recognise the value of young men and women reaching out to other young people, especially when there can be quite a generation gap in our churches. But that in itself can cause tensions, as things are done which don't always translate well across the generations. Older folks sometimes don't understand young people and their culture. And young people, well, they can be sometimes suspicious of older people. And it's that gap we need to bridge. And to do that, Chris, we'll need your support and partnership in the gospel. Paul writes, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. You see, as the representative of the Apostle Paul, Timothy was to command and teach these things. Paul's words. And Timothy had been put into a new position of heavy responsibility as a young man. For although by now he may have been in his mid-30s, in the ancient world, you might be pleased to know, you were considered to be young up to the age of 40. So he was comparatively young. And no doubt there were some who wondered about a young man being put into a position of such responsibility. And perhaps some of them looked down on Timothy the way that the giant Goliath looked down with scorn on young David because of his inexperience and his relative immaturity. Okay, it's a perennial problem, isn't it? Older people have always found it difficult to appreciate younger people as responsible people in their own right, let alone as leaders in the church. And parents find it hard to accept that their children have grown up. So what's the remedy? What does Paul say to us in this text this evening? Well, there are six simple instructions Paul gives Timothy. And really, although they're instructions to a young man, they're good instructions for all of us of any age. The non-Christian way to show authority is to assert yourself forcefully. And G.B. Phillips, in his translation, says, "Don't let people look down on you. Rather, let them look up to you because," and he goes on to list the reasons. And Paul gives Timothy and all who are in leadership, and all, in fact, who are in ministry, and that's all of us, he gives six simple instructions. Firstly, he says, set an example. Be a good role model. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Life and character matter. And Peter says the same thing in his letter. These shepherds, he says, are an example to the flock. And how our young people need good role models today, when all sorts of other voices and lifestyles vie for their attention and their allegiance. The example is to be comprehensive, speech and behaviour, faith directed to God, love directed to other people, purity which is self-controlled, and in all these different things we are to set an example. Then secondly, Paul says, identify your authority. Until I come, he writes, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And this is the same kind of reading as we'd do if we went to the reading of a will. It would be read in public, the sharing of God's word in such a way as people can clearly understand its meaning. And how badly do we need that in what is today almost a totally biblically illiterate society? And what an amazing opportunity some people have to work with young people in schools and in churches and present them with the Word of God in a way that they can understand its meaning. To do that, of course, those who do that have to read the authoritative Word of God themselves and understand it themselves. And they have to be conscientious in their teaching and application of the teaching of Scripture. It's almost as if you have to have the Bible in an open hand as you prepare to share the gospel with others. So set an example and identify your authority. And thirdly, don't neglect your gift. Paul writes, "Do not neglect your gift which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." There's some kind of spiritual gift that was given to Timothy at his ordination. We don't know quite what it was, but Paul says he was not to neglect it. Rather, he was to cultivate it, to exercise it, to fan it into flame. And when we do that with the gifts we have been given, people will be receptive to our ministry. Fourthly, Paul says, show your progress. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. It's not only diligence which is to be seen, but progress. Too often in church life, we can be very diligent, but we show little progress. And some Christian leaders, it's fair to say, think they need to pretend to be perfect, that they never have any faults or failings. That is to pretend they're superhuman, which we're not. And Chris isn't either. But we are all on a journey, all of us, and we're to make progress. Even the Apostle Paul said he was pressing on to his goal. He was trying to make progress. Doubt and struggle come, but that's okay, so long as we're pressing on and making progress. And then fifthly, Paul says, mind your consistency. Watch yourself and the teaching of others. Watch your life and doctrine closely, he writes. Persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. Yeah, getting that balance in time of time is so important. Don't spend all your time focusing on others. Practice what you preach. Apply it to yourself as well. There's to be no dichotomy between what you tell others and what you practice yourself. Sometimes in leadership, particularly when you have so many bosses, as Chris will have, we can be so busy with the concerns of others that we forget ourselves. And we need to balance things. And we need balance to look after ourselves so that we can look after others. And finally, Paul says, adjust your relationships. This is a strange verse when he comes on to say, don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he was your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Church is all about relating to all ages and both sexes. In the school setting, it's not just the pupils, but it's also the teachers and the other staff. Treating all people with respect, maintaining purity in relationships, recognizing that there is a generation gap, and how we relate to young people is perhaps different from how we relate to older people. That's difficult. It's a difficult balance to get right. So it's not just Chris, but all of us who need to get grips with the teaching of Paul as we seek to support each other and be co-missioners in this place, ministering to each other, worshipping together, and reaching out with a gospel to a people, and particularly a generation of young people who need to know that life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Set an example. Identify your authority. Don't neglect your gift. Show your progress. Mind your consistency. And adjust your relationships, that people will gladly and gratefully receive the gospel. There are so many biblical heroes that we read of, and they were those we would least expect to succeed. They were too young or too old, too weak, and really none of us is worthy to serve God. That's not the point. It's not about worth. It's about faithfulness to God's mission and God's call. And we're all commissioned as disciples of Jesus Christ. Will we be faithful? Young, old, experienced or inexperienced, we are called to serve in faithfulness. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to be members of your church, and many of us leaders in it as well. Grant that we may listen carefully to the instruction of the Apostle Paul and seek to put his wise words into practice. We ask it for the glory of your great name. Amen.